expression throughout Scripture. 1 Chronicles 29:20, just talking about David. David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. And in Nehemiah 9:5, and the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Heshbonah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebna, and Pethah. I don't know why they got to put all these names in sometimes, but it meant a lot to them. These Levites said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." So I would like to begin today by asking a question. Do we bless God? Should we be blessing God if we are not? What is it even to bless God? Now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, well, I must have blessed God. I mean, I've praised God and I've given him thanks. And is that the same? It's a good question. I wonder if we fully understand what it is to bless the Lord in the strictest sense of the term. I want to explore the concept of blessing today because I believe it is misunderstood to some degree, certainly by me and, you know, maybe by you too. Now, as I said earlier, we see blessing throughout the Bible. God blessing mankind. Mankind blessing mankind. Mankind blessing God, both Old and New Testament. In spite of all those examples, I'm not sure that blessing God is a part of our consciousness today. And if I were honest, probably one of the biggest reasons for me is Hebrews 7. If you want to go to Hebrews 7, that's where the writer of Hebrews is making the point that the Melchizedek priesthood is superior to the Levitical priesthood because Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And, of course, Levi was still part of Abraham at that point in time. But what really trips me up is verse 7. It says, "Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. This being true, who are we to bless God? Because if the lesser is always blessed by the better, then where do you go with this? I mean, there is no better than God, and there is no lesser than us compared to God. So how in the world can we bless God? But at the same time, it seems like we are encouraged by the scriptures to bless God. So somehow, we're going to have to resolve this. Now, the first possibility is that blessing is synonymous with praise. This seems to be the preferred answer for most commentators. Even so far as some translations, particularly the newer ones like the NLT and NET, both translations that I really like, they substitute the word praise for blessing. In certain locations where man is blessing God, they substitute man's praising God. But for some reason, they're not consistent in translating that word praise when God is blessing man. You know, if you're going to be consistent here, then you've got to translate it the same both ways. I just found that a little inconsistent. But I think we all realize that God blessing us and us blessing God, well, they're not the same thing. They can't be the same thing, even though the word's the same. Praise certainly seems connected to blessing and may be part of it, as we see from several examples I want to turn to, Psalm 66, 8. Psalm 66, 8 says, "Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard." There we have blessing associated with praise. And also, Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." This is David speaking. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So obviously there's a connection. But I think the best example is in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29:10. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great, and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name." So we see thanksgiving and praise also included in David's blessing. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." And then I read 20 earlier. "Then David said to all the assembly, 'Now bless the Lord your God.' So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king." So we see a connection between praise and blessing, but they're not the same. There are many instances of praise in Scripture where blessing is absent. The Hebrew words for bless are Barak and Asher. Asher, translated bless or blessed, is in those, at those times, such as Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners. It's more synonymous with happy. You know, blessed, happy is he, blessed is he. Now, there are some words for praise in Hebrew, tehillah and halal. Different words for different applications. But the Hebrew word that we normally associate with the idea to bless is barak. Now, the Greek word used for bless in the New Testament and in the Septuagint for barak is eulogio. And it can shed a little more light on the concept of bless. It means to speak well of, to bless, to be blessed, to ascribe praise and glorification. It's where we get our word eulogy from. Same word, same idea. Now, I believe we can begin to grasp the uniqueness of barak if we understand it in the way a Hebrew would have. The root or idea associated with Barak is the bending of the knee, or kneeling. When God blesses us, the greater blessing the lesser, our knee is bent to receive the blessing from the greater. When we bless God, ascribing to him all his glorious attributes, our knee is still bent to reflect our worship of him. I think this is the extra layer, not necessarily reflected in the idea of praise of and by itself. This idea of bending the knee is significant in that it reflects an underlying attitude that we all must have. It shows a relationship between mankind in adoration of God by kneeling and God who benefits mankind with his presence. I read a good synopsis on this word Barak, to bless. It says, to bless and be blessed is a fundamental part of our relationship with God and with other people. Blessings, whether given or received, help us see God's working in our lives and draw closer to him. It is not necessarily a recognition of physical or even spiritual gifts, but an acknowledgement that we are not self-sufficient. In blessing God, we ascribe glory and honor that belong only to him. Blessing God is a declaration of faith and trust and a desire to have him reign in our lives. Now, ultimately, blessing God both illustrates and reminds us that he is sovereign in our lives. And as with most things God has us do in worship, we, not he, benefit from it. God blesses us, we benefit. We bless God, we benefit. We are the beneficiaries of both blessings because it is good and right to ascribe to God all the glory that belongs to him alone. We see this reflected in a psalm of David, Psalm 16, beginning in verse 7. Just thinking where I want to break in here. I guess I'll just start at verse 7. I will bless the Lord, who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Of course, a messianic prophecy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Now, as far as being blessed by God, we need to be reminded of something very important. God's blessing seems to have an increase or overflowing effect. This then goes to our blessing of others. The title of this message is, In Blessing I Will Bless You. That's from Genesis 22:7. And what this means is, I will surely bless you. The way this is written in Hebrew is emphatic of the certainty of the blessing. Let's notice Genesis 12:2. I'll just start at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, it's interesting because we see that it was so much more than just a personal blessing for Abraham. And of course, Paul makes the point in Galatians 3:16 that Abraham's seed in verse 18 refers to Christ. That while God blessed through Abraham's seed or offspring to some degree, the ultimate blessing came through the one seed, Christ. Because Israel failed to take the blessing to the world because of a lack of faith. God, through Jesus, bestows on us a measure of faith as a gift. Let's notice that in Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then also I'd like to notice in Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So the faith we have that enables us to take the necessary steps to obey God is a gift from God, a blessing from God. It's not our own decision. You know, God doesn't present us with a choice and then we choose rightly. God enables us and encourages us to choose rightly. It starts with him, and it ends with him. This is a greater fulfillment of that blessing that we saw in Genesis 22. So the blessing flowed from God through Abraham, then Isaac, and so on down until Christ, and now to us. But it doesn't stop with us. Let's notice Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, not our will, his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That is a wonderful blessing. In fact, you could probably make an argument that that is the greatest blessing a person could ever receive. And we've received it. What do we do with it? That blessing we have right now, we have by the good pleasure of the will of God. And if so, then we know God's will includes several other aspects. I would also add, just as a aside, it's important to note that in Genesis 22:8, that this blessing is partly the result of a response by Abraham's obedience. God gave him what he needed, but he did respond. He did respond. We can't just sit back. Let God take care of everything. And in James 1:25, we see the same thing holds true for us. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So definitely, while it is God who initiates the process, we have to have the correct faith response in obedience. We are in reality held to a higher standard because we need to reflect Jesus living in us. Notice 1 Peter 3:9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Known that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So God blesses those who don't deserve a blessing. God wants us to be like him. God wants us to bless people who don't deserve a blessing in our eyes. But none of us deserves a blessing. It is through God's own righteousness and his power that he bestows blessings on any of us, and eventually, I think, many of us. Peter, in a sermon given in the temple complex, states the reason we are blessed in Christ is to remove our iniquity, which makes perfect sense because our iniquity has to be removed so that we can enter a relationship with God who is completely holy. I mean, that is very apparent throughout the Old Testament as far as showing the gap between man and God, holy versus common. Let's notice Acts 3:26. I'm going to break in verse 21. To whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him shall you hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. One of the great blessings we have is that God takes away our sin. But he just doesn't take away our sin, our past sin. He begins to make us holy by removing us from our carnal nature and the sins that we have. Now, the last aspect of blessing I wanted to talk about is mankind blessing mankind, or one person blessing another. This was so common in Bible times that really blessing was synonymous with greeting. Notice Ruth 2:4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. So it's just a common form of greeting. Now, unlike a greater blessing a lesser, like when God blesses us, that's not what this is, because that would obviously cause a lot of offense if you blessed someone and they immediately thought, you're blessing me. Are you saying you're better than me? Well, obviously, that's not what this is talking about. Or ascribing attributes to a human that belong to God alone, like we do when we bless God. Well, obviously, that's not right either. So neither of those things works with one person blessing another. When a person blessed another person, they were asking God to bless that person. This is so uncommon today. And that's a shame, because everyone needs God's blessing. I had a particular customer when I was working, and we communicated about various aspects and specifications of the job. And if I talked to him on the phone, he'd always end with, "Hey, may God bless." If he wrote me an email, he would always say, "God bless you." And I thought, wow, that's really good. Why do I feel funny about that? Shouldn't I be writing that to him? Why is that? Well, that's not really a part of our culture. I will date myself here, but I know there are some in this room who will remember this. For those of you who don't, there was a man many years ago who had a comedy show. He was a comedian. His name was Red Skelton. Anybody remember how he ended his show? Flo? Right. Good night, and may God bless. Can't tell you the last time I've heard "God bless" coming from the TV. And that is a shame. I mean, I guess that's not really fair, because I don't watch a lot of religious programs on TV, and maybe they say it. I can't do that. I'm just not into that kind of thing. It just seems too put on for me. But anyway, that is the world in which we live. That's our culture. That's our consciousness. You might want to turn to number 6 a while, and this is the Arianic blessing. This is what I heard in the Lutheran church when I was a kid, and occasionally I hear it in sermons when they're referring to this particular blessing. This is one of the greatest blessings ever. Now, today, we don't really expect God to transform us because someone speaks words over us. Why? Because it's not part of our culture. It's not part of our consciousness. But blessings given in the Bible suggest that these words are more than just something nice to say. Blessing is the projection of good into the life of a number. In the case of number 6, the priest is projecting God's blessing on the nation. And of course, that's where, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. And that's how the priests were supposed to bless the children of Israel and show them that God was with them. When we bless another, it isn't just words. It is the actual putting forth of our will for the good of another person. And it always involves God, because when we will the good of another person, we must realize only God is capable of bringing that to pass. I mean, in the fullest sense. Of course, along with progressing goodwill to another, there are tangible physical things that we can do to alleviate suffering in others. We talked about one in the announcements earlier. In other words, not just willing good on one another and then sitting back for waiting for God to get about it. God uses us to bless. Even though the blessing may originate with him, he uses us to bless. Let's notice James 2, verse 15. Now, James is using this as an analogy for faith without works. In verse 15, he says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" I mean, really. Bless you. be warmed and filled. See ya. That's not the way God expects us to be. Notice in Luke 3, verse 10. This is with John the Baptist when he was out preaching in the wilderness. And a lot of people came out to see him, and he was, you know, chastising some of them. But others actually were struck by his teaching and his preaching. And they asked him, well, what can we do? In verse 11, he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. So if it's kind of like a cold day out, a tunic was the undergarment. So it was a cold day, you were wearing two tunics. And somebody had none, and they were cold. Well, wouldn't it be better for you to give up one of your tunics? It might not be quite as comfortable, but at least someone won't be freezing cold. That's what we're talking about. Not putting yourself in want, but we all have a good deal of abundance that can go a long way to helping others. So should we be blessing God? Absolutely. Because of who he is, we should ascribe to him all the wonderful qualities that he has as God from an attitude of true reverence. Because God blesses us, we have an obligation to reflect God's blessing in our own lives by allowing those blessings to radiate out from us to any and all. Now, it may not be in our culture to bless today, but eventually that's going to change. Notice Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, we don't have to wait until then to bless God and others, nor should we. If it is good and right to do, then it is good and right to do today. Followers of Jesus Christ should reflect his desire that none should perish, but all should come to repentance and have life more abundantly. So let's all begin to better reflect God's blessing in our lives today.